originally the plan was 28 days. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go back to drinking after that. And then I was like, you know, 28 days isn't long enough. I'm going to extend it to 60. I'm going to extend it to 90. I'm going to extend it to a year. And now I'm like, I just can't see myself ever. I don't want to ever end up there again. And that's enough to kind of keep me where I am today. For myself, sobriety was like the final thing that was necessary to bring me to this place of well-being. And that is something that I value so much.
Hello, my name's Simon Tomlinson, and welcome to the second episode of Your Tagline Here. This is a weekly podcast sharing real stories from real people. Each week, I will interview a new guest to find out who they are and what their story is. And at the end of every episode, I'll be asking the guest to provide their tagline for the episode to summarize their story into a short sentence that we can all remember it by. Today's guest is Alex McRobs, who is a yoga teacher from Canada and now lives and works in Abu Dhabi. Alex successfully stopped drinking alcohol back in 2019, and since then she has become a sober coach, helping other people to banish the booze. And she also has her own podcast about being alcohol free, which is called The Sober Yoga Girl. Today she's going to be talking about why she stopped drinking, how she did it, and what her life is like now that she's managed to quit for over 2 years. Before we speak to Alex, I would just like to mention our sponsor, KickLab, who are a digital marketing company based in Birmingham in the UK, and who have very kindly provided us with this amazing studio. KickLab have over 15 years of experience specializing in branding, websites, search engine optimization, paid advertising, social media, and more. So if you want to grow your business online, just head over to kicklab.com, which is KICKLAB.com. And without further ado, let's meet Alex. Hello, Alex. Welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you here.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
So, Alex, I've already mentioned that your story is about stopping drinking and about how you did it and what the benefits have been to your life. But first of all, I just really want to go into what your life was like when you were drinking and what detrimental effects it was having on your life. Can you embellish and share that, please?
Yeah. So as you mentioned at the start, I am Canadian originally. I've been living in the Middle East now for about 6 years. And I moved here when I was 23. And ever since I was a teenager, drinking was a big part of my family culture. It was a part of what my friends did in Canada. I kind of had this persona in high school and university as this party girl. And that came with me when I moved overseas. And when I was living in Kuwait, alcohol was not legal in Kuwait. And I ended up getting really into, you know, traveling and partying and visiting countries where I could go and drink and party there. And became a huge part of, you know, that whole experience. You know, getting on the plane, always associated with alcohol, landing in a new country, drinking there. And I hit this point. So I ended up moving to Abu Dhabi from Kuwait when I was 25, I think. And in Abu Dhabi and Dubai, it's a bit like almost like the holiday destination of the region. And so people will start drinking at noon on the weekend, and they have these all you can drink events. And it really kind of ramped up and accelerated when I moved here. And I hit this point where I was like, I'm so stuck in this loophole. And I was drinking almost every night at this point, you know, not excessively, having wine and beer with dinner, you know, binge drinking on the weekend. But I could not see my life without alcohol. And I could not imagine, you know, what would dinner be like without wine? What would a barbecue be like without beer? I didn't know what it would look like. I didn't know what my friendships would look like because my whole adult life was associated with alcohol. And at that same time, I was just hitting kind of like a downward spiral. And so, yeah, I hit this point where I was like, you know, it was multiple years where I was like, I really need to quit, but I just didn't know how. I didn't know what to turn to. The only thing I had heard of was AA, which I was like, I don't think I'm an alcoholic. Like, I don't think that's where I belong. I don't think that's right for me. And so I just didn't know what to do. And so I just kind of stayed stuck exactly where I was.
Yeah. So how long do you think it was when you first realized that you wanted to stop drinking before you actually made that decision and were able to actually do it?
You know, I remember the point in time in which I started to realize that my drinking was abnormal. And it was a really long time ago. I was really young. It was before I even left Canada. And what it was I moved in with some new housemates and, you know, all throughout university, everyone around me was drinking excessively. All my friends were drinking a lot. And so nothing seemed weird, but I ended up moving in with a roommate, a friend's little sister, and they were all athletes. And for them, it was like, you know, they did not drink during the week. And if they went out for a drink and they said, let's go for a drink, it was literally one drink. And I remember, and this was before I even moved to the Middle East. And I remember moving in with them. And that was the first time that it occurred to me. I was like, maybe my drinking is abnormal. And it was, I just had never been, you know, in comparison to other people's drinking as such to realize that. And so that was what, 2014. I didn't quit until 2019. So it was probably 5 years. And then there were like other incidents over time, you know, like a couple years later, my partner moved in with me and I was like hiding my drinking from him. And I was like, okay, this is probably not good. But it must have been, I think I was worried about my drinking, but I didn't know what to do. And I don't think I ever started actually thinking about quitting until probably maybe end of 2018, beginning of 2019. So it was a long period of me like being worried about it, but not being ready. And, you know, before I finally like took the plunge.
Yeah, I definitely know what that's like. And there's a lot of elements within your story that I can associate with, because for anyone who's watching who doesn't know, I've actually stopped drinking myself. And that's how I've come to know Alex. And yeah, I know what you mean about drinking being part of the culture and just kind of getting sucked into it and going along with the flow of everyone else and not really recognizing that there's anything wrong with it until you start hanging out with people who don't drink to that same sort of level. And then that makes you realize, oh, hold on. Is my drinking too much? And you can kind of look at your life with a slightly different lens. But then when it gets to that point, then actually making the decision to stop and actually going through with it can be a very difficult thing. So what was the main thing that made you say, right, this is it, I've got to stop drinking now?
You know, I don't think there was like one sort of big night or big, in particular, like rock bottom. There was a period of time in which I realized that my drinking was starting to become a problem. I remember in 2019, I had some really big like holidays planned, traveling planned. And the first was, you know, I traveled around Southeast Asia for Christmas of 2019. And I remember being on this trip. I was on this like program trip where one of the nights included a night at a Laotian village. And it was New Year's Eve and they did not drink in the village. And I couldn't drink alcohol on New Year's Eve. And I literally went so far as was trying to plan a flight to Bangkok so that I could actually celebrate New Year's Eve. And that was kind of a moment where I was like, wow, like that, the fact that the lack of alcohol is really shaping my evening and it's ruining my evening for me. That was like kind of a red flag. Around this time, I started to see targeted ads for this program that I eventually joined that helped me quit drinking. And I was getting them on my Instagram, my Facebook. And what that did was it really put this nugget inside my head. And I was reading other people's stories. It was so inspiring. And they were people that were like me, you know, people who didn't identify as alcoholics, considered themselves sort of regular drinkers, quit drinking, had totally transformed their lives. And so I was, you know, reading these stories And then there were a few other sort of incidents along this time period, one of which, you know, I had family and friends come visit me in March of 2019 for the Special Olympics. And, you know, we went out the whole holiday. I was taking them around, touring around Abu Dhabi, and everywhere we went had to be a place where you could drink. And in Abu Dhabi, you know, you can only drink at hotels, because it's like not part of the local culture. And so I'm taking them to these like five-star hotels. And, I realize, you know, I'm planning this whole thing around this. And then, you know, I get party so much, drink so much that I'm completely hungover and destroyed for the actual Special Olympics event, which was like a huge thing. You know, he won, my friend's brother won gold for Canada. And, it was a huge late night thing, cause we had to stay until like midnight until the, you know, award ceremony. And I was completely exhausted cause we had gone out partying the night before. And you know, this is another moment of me realizing like, wow, this really is not bringing any positivity to my life anymore. Like, this is not fun anymore. And then, but I couldn't quit because I had this another big holiday planned, and I was like, you know, being sober would ruin the holiday in my mind. So I had one more thing. I was backpacking around Morocco with my mom. And on that trip, it was really like everywhere. It was the same thing. Everywhere we went to had to have alcohol. And in Morocco, there are some areas of the country where alcohol is not accessible because it's, you know, a Muslim region or whatever. And so I'm strategically planning the trip with alcohol in my backpack, carrying it around. And it's my birthday, and we're staying in a homestay at the top of the High Atlas Mountains. And I end up carrying this wine in my backpack, up my back, like up the mountain. And I said to my mom, you know, you can't share this with anyone because it's my birthday and we only have one bottle and it's not enough. And so the two of us drank this wine, and it wasn't enough for me to get drunk because it was like one bottle between the two of us. And I was drinking so heavily at this point. And that was the night when I was like falling asleep, and I was like, I can't do this anymore. But of course I could not quit then. Because I was still on vacation, and I was like, my vacation will be ruined. So I drank for like four more nights. And then it was on the flight from Casablanca to Abu Dhabi that I was like, I'm done. And you know, it was originally 28 days sober. It was not ever going to turn into what it did. So I said I was taking a break, and then that was that.
There's definitely a few things in your story that remind me of my own journey as well. Like, I went to South America and Machu Picchu. One of the things that was putting me off going on the Machu Picchu trip was that it was staying in tents, and there wasn't going to be any alcohol involved at all. And I was like, well, how can I go on this journey over a few days, but how can I do it without alcohol? So I purposely booked a trip that was staying in hostels along the way that I knew that there would be alcohol involved. And it's funny how alcohol can dictate the things that we do in our lives. And it's not until we actually stop drinking that we can enjoy our lives for what they are without the alcohol involved. So you said that you started with this 28 day break. Did you find that difficult to do the 28 days?
Yeah.
What was the hardest thing?
The first 11 days were the hardest days, probably of my life, I think. I have a mood disorder as well, and I really should not be drinking alcohol at all, on the medicine that I take. And, you know, when you're drinking so heavily, it just kind of stops the medicine from working. And so I was taking these meds, but they obviously weren't really stabilizing my mood that well. And then when I quit alcohol, I had like a withdrawal. And you know, I guess prior to that point, I had been drinking every night on vacation. I probably was drinking every night at home for a while. So people are always surprised when they hear that I had a withdrawal, but it was probably a combination of things, the drinking like and the mental health challenges. But I hit a very, very low point. And pretty much at every point I was crying. Like, if I was not at work. I was crying. I was even crying at work. I remember I had a panic attack on the, you know, the fourth day about something that is just so ridiculous in retrospect. It was the most ridiculous thing. I had applied to, like, so in Abu Dhabi, for teachers, they provide us with housing, an apartment, and I have a beautiful apartment. And, you know, I was completely broke because I was spending so much money on partying, but I was convinced that the problem was that I was, like, in this apartment, and if I moved out and saved money on rent, then it would solve the problem, when in retrospect, it was the partying. But anyway, I was, like, I was late on the form submission. So it was my own fault. And then my application to move out was denied. And I literally had a panic attack at work about this, could not stop crying. My boss ended up catching me, you know, walking down the hall, and was like, "You, like, some grade one teacher." She's like, "You cannot be with the kids right now." And I went into her office, and they were unbelievably supportive. Like, and I, at this point, could not even bring myself to tell her, you know, I'm 5 days sober. I couldn't even tell her the truth of what was going on, but, I think, like, they were very worried about me because I was clearly just not in a good space. And I look back now and I'm like, this is obviously, I was upset that this form did not come through, but it's really not the end of the world. You know, there are, like, way worse things. But because I was struggling so much with my withdrawal and my mood and my anxiety and my depression, and it was all kind of really, coming to a head at this point. And so, yeah, oh my God, it would have been so easy to just go back to drinking. Because drinking can, like, numb us from that crap. But the thing is that I think I knew at that point that drinking was making it worse rather than making it better. And I just needed to get through whatever it was, 10 days, 11 days, 12 days. And I knew that I would get to the other side. And so that was the hardest thing. Those 11 or 12 days. And then I hit a point where it all came back into kind of even keel. Everything came into balance. I think it was around maybe 2 weeks alcohol free. And it was that point where I was like, holy crap. That was so hard that I just never want to go through that again. And that's been enough to make me want to stay sober for the rest of my life. And so I have thought about, like, originally the plan was 28 days and I was like, okay, I'm going to go back to drinking after that. And then I was like, you know, 28 days isn't long enough. I'm going to extend it to 60. I'm going to extend it to 90. I'm going to extend it to a year. And now I'm like, I just can't see myself ever. I don't want to ever end up there again. And that's enough to kind of keep me where I am today.
Yeah, a lot of people don't really realize that alcohol is a drug, and it is an addictive drug. And stopping drinking is difficult because some people do get physical withdrawal symptoms. And there's definitely the like mental and emotional withdrawal symptoms that we get as well. And over a period of time, we almost use alcohol as a coping mechanism to deal with different situations. And when we don't have that alcohol anymore, then it can be difficult to get through those difficult periods because we use alcohol as a way of numbing out our feelings. Mm-hmm. So you were talking about how the first 11 days were the hardest. You're now, that was back in 2019. So it's over 2 years now that you're alcohol free, yeah, which is an amazing achievement. Has it got progressively easier over that 2 year period?
Yeah, 100%. It's now something that I don't really have cravings. I do from time to time think about it. And I have had a couple of drinks. I've had two beers in that time, and they've been in circumstances where actually it's been the same thing both times. It's been a vacation. And as we kind of talked about, vacations were a big thing for me for drinking. It's been a staycation in Abu Dhabi. They haven't had an alcohol-free alternative. And so I have ordered a beer. But I do feel proud of myself because I was able to have one and just be like, I don't want any more. And I think that that's a sign that I've, you know, set out what I've done to do or done what I set out to do. But I also, you know, I recently had a staycation and I ended up planning by packing a bunch of alcohol-free drinks and bringing them with me so that I wouldn't have that craving to have a drink again. So I would say I no longer crave the idea of being drunk. I no longer crave that emotional numbness. Like, I don't want that anymore. It's almost just like that ritual of having a beer in hand that I want. And so if I can do it with an alcohol-free beer that I like, then that is enough to kind of fulfill that.
Yeah. And those alcohol-free beers, like, there's a huge selection of them out there now. Yeah. Just over the last couple of years, it's really grown. And the quality of them is amazing. Like, some of them, if you gave an alcohol-free beer to someone and you didn't tell them that it was alcohol-free, I would guess that 99% of people wouldn't notice that it didn't have alcohol in it. That's how good and how effective they are. And I know from my own personal experience that they are really helpful in those social settings, because it makes you feel like you're fitting in with the crowd of other people. You're not the only one there with a glass of water. So it just helps to connect with people. And sometimes, again, from my own experience, like, if I do have a craving for alcohol, if I have an alcohol-free beer that's just sat in the fridge, then it helps to just take the edge off those cravings as well, which is really useful. So now that you are 2 years without drinking alcohol, what would you say the main benefits are?
Oh, there's so many. The biggest thing is my mental health, for sure. And that is what I say all the time. And I think, like, you know, there's so many different things that make up your mental well-being, and it's not necessarily, sobriety is not necessarily the fix for it all. You know, you might need other things like yoga or therapy or medication or whatever. But for myself, sobriety was like the final thing that was necessary to bring me to this place of well-being. And that is something that I value so much, because, you know, it was so many years of me not being happy and trying to be happy. And so for sure, my mood, my mental health. Also, I just feel better. I wake up in the morning. I don't regret things I've done. I'm not anxious. I feel like I have more wholehearted and deep friendships and connections with people around me, because they're no longer they're no longer affected by alcohol. You know, alcohol is a social lubricant, but you also don't remember the things you talked about the next day. And being able to have connections that I remember and that are deep and meaningful, it's so different from my drinking days.
Mm. Yeah. And it's something I really like about your story, and from when we've talked about things in the past, is that it's not about what you're missing by being alcohol free. It's about what you're gaining by being alcohol free. Mm-hmm. And all of those things that you've talked about, you've really made a massive difference to your life, and you've really moved forward in a positive way by getting rid of alcohol. And a lot of people feel that if they stop drinking alcohol, they're going to miss out on something, which is what you were talking about before as well. You think, oh, how am I going to be able to go on holiday? How am I going to be able to celebrate my birthday? How am I going to be able to do this? But actually, there's so many benefits that come with being alcohol free that we don't often realize, because it's so such a big part of our culture and the way that we live. If there was anyone watching this or listening to this who would like to stop drinking, what advice would you give to them?
I would say, so a few things. Like, I started small, did my 28 days. I think dipping your toe in the water and just saying, I'm going to take this many days off alcohol, whether it's, you know, 2 weeks, whether it's a month, whether it's 90 days, I think it's much easier to take it little by little rather than say, I'm going to quit forever. So I would recommend starting small. I would also recommend look out there and find your people. There are so many amazing groups out there and programs, and you don't have to do it alone. And I think I tried really hard to do it alone. And, you know, I thought I was the only person struggling with my drinking. And, you know, there, I really feel that there's starting to become so many different programs that there's something out there for everyone. You know, I was part of One Year No Beer. I now run my Sober Curious yoga programs. I was speaking earlier today. I did a podcast interview with someone who she's called the retired party girl, and she does like retired party girl meetings for, you know, young women in North America. And so there really is something for every different kind of person. And I think look out there and see what you can find, because it's so important to walk alongside other people rather than do it alone.
Yeah, that community is really important. And I think in the past, the only community that there was Alcoholics Anonymous. Yeah. And I feel the same way as you, that I tried going to a few Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, but I didn't really feel like it was the right thing for me. But now that there are so many other options out there, there really is something for everyone. So I just want to now go into how you became a sober coach, and also, actually, first of all, what is a sober coach?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I am a certified life coach, and basically what a coach does, so life coach, but I ended up sort of niching my work into sobriety along the way. It was never what I originally planned. But I would describe coaching as, so often people ask, you know, what's the difference between coaching, consulting, and counseling? And I would say counseling is very much about, you know, going into trauma, going into the past, maybe people with a mental health diagnosis who need focus on that. That would be kind of the support of a counselor. And a consultant is more of someone who's an expert giving advice to someone else on, you know, how to go about something. And a coach is very much, like I use motivational interviewing skills to help people tap into their inner wisdom and move to where they want to be faster than they would on their own. So, you know, I work with all types of people, all different walks of life, and it's very action oriented, very goal setting. We'll look at your life in a picture, a pie chart, using a tool that I designed, and kind of break down all the pieces and figure out what is going wrong. That, you know, in the majority of times I'm working with people in sobriety. And so it's like, what is going on in my life that's making me want to drink so much? And how can I create a life that I don't need alcohol to escape from?
Yeah. And I think that is such a good way of looking at it, that what is it that is making us drink, and how can we change that? That's such a good way of looking at it. So if there is someone who would like to get in touch with you and get some help from you, where can they go to get that? Where can they go to get more information about you?
Yeah. So I run an online, I almost call it like a virtual soul center now, because it's really evolved and changed over time. It's called the Mindful Life Practice. And so initially when I started, it was just yoga on Zoom. And I was doing a little bit of life coaching here and there on the side. And this was around maybe my 1 year of sobriety. And then I was kind of posting about being alcohol free, kind of sharing little bits of my journey. And I ended up really attracting people that wanted to take a break from alcohol themselves. And so I ended up doing sober coaching without even planning on it. And someone actually wrote me a letter saying, you know, thanks for saving my life at the end of his 90 days sober. And receiving that letter was the moment when I realized, like, wow, this is what I want to do. I want to be a sober coach. And so initially when I started my sober coaching, I was purely just, you know, doing one-on-one sessions with people, working privately with them. I was doing it on a separate website from my yoga program, because I kind of felt that they were two separate things. And the longer I've gone on with it, the more I've realized that it's like actually all one big. And for myself, yoga was a massive part of my recovery, especially since there were no resources here in the Middle East. There is literally nothing for sobriety here, other than there's a speckle of AA meetings, but that's basically it.
Okay.
And so I really built on my yoga, my spirituality, my yoga practice, and that kind of became a big part of my alcohol-free journey. And so I've ended up kind of creating some different programs on the Mindful Life practice that kind of evolve around sobriety. And so I do still work one-on-one with people, but I've spent the past kind of 6 months developing this program that I'm actually launching on July 4th, and it's called Sober Curious Yoga School. And it's an 8-week program. It uses yoga, mindfulness, coaching. I've devised tools. There's daily journaling. There's workbooks. And I have 13 of my students who have been with me over the past year on an alcohol-free journey that are actually in training to be leaders facilitating this program when we launch it. So it's really, really exciting. It basically, it kind of taps into all that stuff, like looking how to create a life that I don't need alcohol to escape from and how to create healthy coping strategies to use in place of my drinking, right? So meditations, yoga practices, relying on the group for support. And I'm so excited about it because it's kind of been evolving and changing over time. And I finally feel like this is the recipe. And so that is where I can be found. So those are my primary things. You know, I do yoga for everyone, for all people. And that's kind of the umbrella of the Mindful Life practice. And then Sober Curious Yoga School kind of falls under that umbrella, as well as my one-on-one work with people.
I really like the sound of that program, and it sounds very different to other things that are out there and providing other tools that can be really helpful, because I know mindfulness is a really powerful tool that people can use. Yoga is really good for physical health, but also for mental health as well. And those things alongside the community aspect of it and those coping mechanisms sounds like a really valuable and powerful package that you're providing to people. So yeah, I wish you all the best of success with that. It does sound like a really positive and powerful thing that people can use. I also understand that you're in the process of writing a book at the moment. Can you tell me what is that all about?
It's finished, actually.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, this is funny, actually. About a year ago, I was planning on writing daily emails to give to my sober yoga community, which back then was called Sober Girls Yoga. It's now evolved to be Sober Curious Yoga. But I was going to write a book of, like, you know, a year of messages for people on a sober journey. That was what I was doing. That's what I sat down to do. And while I was working on it, I received this message from someone from my past who said that they found my website a little bit disturbing because I called myself a sober coach, but I was not honest about my mental health past. And she felt that I was not, you know, being truthful about my history with alcohol. And it was really powerful message for me to receive because, you know, I have not talked about my mood disorder publicly because of the stigma around it. You know, I'm a teacher. I don't want people thinking that I'm unstable or, you know, and so my mood disorder is something that I haven't shared for that reason up until this point. And her email was this trigger for me of, like, maybe it's time for me to actually tell this story. And as soon as that started, I, like, couldn't stop. And people ask me, you know, how did you write a book in this year while you're also, you know, working a job and running a business and coaching and da, da, da. And I describe it as, like, I got back down to the abyss of, like, the lowest point in my life with my depression. And then I just could not stop until I had wrote my way up. Like, I describe it like this, like, da, da, da. And so I was writing and writing and writing. And it was so overwhelming because I was, like, in these moments and reliving them again. And it kind of ends up telling the whole story of, like, my mood disorder, my diagnosis, my treatment, my alcohol addiction problems, and like how I recovered to the place where I am today. And so that became kind of one of my big projects of this year. And I've just, It's finished in the sense that my book editor is doing the proofreading edits, and I've submitted it to some publishing houses for like their review. So I don't have a deal yet with a publishing house, but I mostly did it for me more than anything, and it's been, I would say to anyone who has been through, you know, trauma in their past, which is like most of us, writing a book, it was seriously more valuable to me. Like, my therapy has been amazing and I love therapy. But this book was so powerful because I wrote things and then my book editor would look at it and she'd be like, well, why did you do that? I'm like, I don't know. I had to really figure out like, what is the reason for this? Why did this happen? What led me to this point? And I had to go really deep into things that I have just ignored. And it was a painful experience, but it was probably the best thing I've ever done.
Wow. That's really impressive. And I was going to ask you if it was a therapeutic process for you, yeah. Which it sounds like it definitely was, because it's a bit like journaling, but journaling at another level, and going through some of those previous experiences, which must have been quite hard to go through, but must have also been really good to be able to reprocess those things and almost allow those emotions to be refelt and allow them to escape almost in a way. That sounds amazing. When do you know when it's likely to be published? You said that you haven't got a publisher yet.
Yeah, I have no idea. I kind of parked it. I have to say, I finished it in April. And my book editor has been working on the proofreads, and I've just become really shifted gears into Sober Curious Yoga School and kind of designing that and getting it all ready for the July launch. So I actually haven't thought about the book in a while. I have submitted it to a couple of publishing houses and I'm just kind of waiting to hear back. I have no idea when it will come out, but it will at some point.
Yeah. Well, let me know when it comes out and I'll definitely get myself a copy. It sounds very interesting. I'm sure that there's a lot of people out there who would like to read it as well. People who have been through similar experiences, because it's nice to be able to know that we're not the only one going through these kind of challenges. Just one final question with the alcohol. Do you think that you'll ever drink alcohol again?
I mean, I did say like I've had a couple beers in this past year. So I made it to my 1 year, no beer with no alcohol at all. I had a couple this year. If I do ever drink, it will be within the context of like, maybe it's a wedding and I have a bit of champagne from a champagne toast, you know, or maybe there's an occasion where I will make, like, I don't want to say I'm going to be sober for the rest of my life. Because, you know, like after I quit drinking, I was vegetarian for a little while and now I'm eating meat again. Okay. And so it's like, I don't know if I'm going to permanently be sober for the rest of my life, but I don't ever, ever want to get to the point that I was ever at in the past. I don't want to be drinking. I don't want to drink more than a special occasion once a year type of thing, you know? Because it's so addictive and it's so destructive. And that downward spiral is like, you know, once you're out of the abyss, you're like, I don't want to go down there again, you know? So.
Yeah, definitely. And I think like, if you can get to a point where you can have one drink every now and again, then there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But if it gets to a point where you're getting drunk several times a week, then that's definitely not something that you probably want to repeat again. Thank you for being on the podcast. The final question is, as you know, this podcast is called Your Tagline Here. And what we do is we ask each guest to provide their own tagline, which will then become the title for the episode, which is a way of summarizing your story of where you were and how you got to where you are now. So what is your tagline for the episode?
Yeah, I love this question. I immediately thought of what it would be, which is believe in your potential. And the reason why I chose that is because, and I think a lot of people can relate to this, is like for most of my life, I didn't believe in myself. I didn't believe that I was capable to start a business. I didn't believe that, you know, people would want to come to my own retreats or my own programs if I did them on my own. I didn't believe that I could quit alcohol and stay sober. Like there's so many things that I did not believe that I was capable of. And it was my limited belief in myself that held me back. It was me holding myself back that whole time. And as soon as I switched and started to believe in myself, that is when everything happened. And so I think that's the biggest thing I've learned is, you know, your mindset is powerful. And if you believe in your potential, you can make anything happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I think it's a really nice message to put out there. And yeah, it's like the foundation of all of the things that you've done. And it's something that people can take away and hopefully they can take on that message and it can help to improve their own lives. Actually, one final follow-up question. I keep on saying one final question. how can you believe in your potential if you don't already? And maybe this is a whole new podcast just in itself. But if there's people out there who don't currently believe in themselves, is there something that people can do to get to that point?
I mean, that's a really good question. I'm like, how did I do it? I don't know. I guess, you know what it is? I know the answer to that question. It is me surrounding myself with the resources I needed to get to that point. I didn't talk about it a lot in this episode, but like I, you know, ended up having a psychic support me, went to see a psychic and had a session with him. I ended up, you know, getting a business coach to help me to get to this point with my business. I ended up, you know, I'm open to kind of all exploring all new things. I've tried hypnotherapy and I guess how I came to believe in my potential was kind of getting people to support me along the way until I got a point where I could do it on my own. And I think that kind of goes back to sort of the advice I would give when I said, you know, find your community. Finding my alcohol-free community is what helped me believe in my potential to propel me to this point where now I'm like a sober lighthouse for others, you know? So find the people that will lift you up until you can fly on your own.
Excellent answer, really well put, because no one makes it on their own. Everyone has a team of people behind them, and those resources can be people that are your friends or your family. It could be people that you go out and you hire them for a particular service. Those resources can also be books and podcasts and videos on YouTube and things like that. So by surrounding yourselves with the right resources, that's how we can, start to believe in ourselves and then make changes in our lives. Alex, thank you so much for being on the podcast. It's an amazing story. It's really inspiring. And I'm sure that everyone who's listening has really enjoyed it, found it entertaining, and learned a lot from it as well. So I wish you all of the best for the future. So if you would like to find out more about Alex, you can go to her website, which is alexmcrobs.com. On Instagram, it's @alexmcrobs. She also has a podcast, which is called The Sober Yoga Girl, which is available on all of the major platforms. And her other website, which she was talking about, is themindfullifepractice.com. And I will leave links to all of those in the description and in the show notes. If you want to find out more about Alex or if you want to get in touch with her, you can do that through that. So that brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you very much for watching and listening. All of these episodes are available on YouTube to watch, or you can listen on all of the major platforms, which includes Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts, and all of the other ones that are out there as well. If you did enjoy this today, then please do give us a thumbs up, subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to, and also share it with your friends. So I hope to see you next time. There'll be another episode next week with another inspiring story.